Welcome to our podcast. Today, we're joined by Nicolette Machile, a financial educator known as the Financial Bunny. Nicolette has been instrumental in simplifying financial education for many. Today, we delve into the question, are traders born or made? Nicolette, it's an absolute pleasure to have you here today.
Thank you so much, Nima. It's great being here.
Welcome, welcome. Let's jump into some quick fire questions so people can get to know you a little better. What inspired you to start the Financial Bunny platform?
I made mistakes. I made huge mistakes. And when you graduate from university, typically when you speak a certain way, typically in South Africa, if you're eloquent in specific areas of your life, people often think that you are intelligent, you're smart, you know everything that you're doing, right? And my second house purchase, which is actually my primary home purchase, I signed the offer to purchase without knowing that there was a suspensive clause in there that said, if I do get an offer from any bank, I will be legally bound to buy the house. So a bank did give me an offer, but the numbers were not making sense. My loan multiplier was going to be 3.5. And I was like, I don't need to be financially savvy to know that these numbers do not make sense. I mean, you're borrowing 2,750,000 rand and you're a repayment at the end of the deal is 8 million. I was like, no. And I had to settle out of court. So that was my first big bubble that said, yes, you're a university graduate, but when it comes to finance, you actually like a little infant, you're still a baby. You still need to be taught. And I guess that's why I started the platform, because I realized that so many of us were making financial decisions, but having to be baptized by fire first before you make the right decisions. And I think that was really important to me, that we start the money conversations and they're not taboo in our homes.
Got it. Okay. How do you balance your roles as a trader, educator, and television personality?
No, zero balance. Zero. I don't think there's ever a time where anybody can say they've got total balance in their life, right? And I think it's because we actually don't know what the definition of work-life balance really is. And when you work in the space where you are self-employed, you are studying, you are trying to make money, you're trying to keep up with your life, it's very difficult to say what a good balance would be like. Because at the end of the day, I need to generate income. If I don't generate income, I can always be zen and be balanced, but I've got no money. Who's going to pay for my bond? You know what I mean? So for me, I the honest truth is I have no balance, but it works right now. And I always say I've got a philosophy that says work hard now so that you don't have to tomorrow. So I know that if I put in the right blocks right now, it will then prepare me for the future where then I can have all the work-life balance that I'm looking for.
Got it. Between trader, educator, and television personality, which one are you more passionate about? Or do you enjoy doing more?
Education. I think, yeah, look, I mean, all of the other two things, or every other aspect in my life needs and requires me to have education.
Got it. And what's a common misconception about financial literacy in South Africa you'd like to address?
People think they're financially literate. And until you make financial decisions, you find out for the first time that you actually do not understand, right? And I think also people often don't see the tangible results of being financially literate because they're not immediate. It's not like you're going to put in blue and yellow today and you're going to get green tomorrow, right? It takes a little bit of time. It takes consistency. So there's that difference between consistency and intensity, right? Whereas in other areas of your life, it's an intense effort that you do and you get the results immediately. Whereas with financial literacy, the tangible result is that if you start budgeting today, you will only probably see it in the future. So that, I think, is probably the one of the biggest misconceptions, is that they're supposed to be something that's supposed to happen immediately. It's not going to happen.
And who is Coco?
Coco is my little bunny. Oh my goodness. Coco is my little bunny that I created to teach South African kids and hopefully African kids about finance. So Coco goes on this journey to teach them about earning, banking, saving, investing, entrepreneurship. And basically, I got tired, and I'm going to be very honest with you, Nima. I got tired of teaching adults financial education, because when you are much older, you already come with preconceived ideas. The habits are already there. So it's difficult. It's difficult to change money habits and behavior. And that's what financial education is really supposed to tackle, right? So Coco is, let's get ahead of the problem. Let's make sure that our kids build the right money habits, understand the financial education and the literacy, so that by the time they become adults and they are participating in an economy, They have an understanding of what is expected of them, and it's a choice not to do the right thing. So yeah, I think financial education at a very young age is critical.
What a great concept, because I mean, I asked myself over my years of education, how come these basics weren't taught to me? Because this is actually what I really needed to succeed or to get ahead of bouncing a checkbook. I mean, just basic things like
taxation, just tax. I mean, just getting tax. For me, it's the most bizarre thing that at school, and sorry to the teachers, shout out to you guys, you're doing a great job. But teaching me about, what's it, geometry, trigonometry? No, man, teach me tax. Teach me how to balance my books. I think that's a little bit more practical.
No doubt about it. I wish someone taught me about compounding interest at a younger age instead of me having to make that mistake.
Do you know how rich we would be?
No doubt about it.
Sure.
No doubt about it. Nicolette, your journey of becoming a leading financial educator is absolutely inspiring. Could you share some pivotal moments that led you to focus on financial literacy? And were there any specific challenges or insights from your journey that shaped the way you teach financial literacy and trading today?
Pivotal moments. Sheesh, I think every single time I make a financial decision now, it's like a pivotal moment. But I think when you teach financial education, again, just like when you are asking people to actually put it into practice, is that you're not going to see the results immediately. It's only a couple of years later when someone comes back and says, you helped me buy my first home. I remember walking in United States, the streets of United States in New York, and somebody kept saying, financial bunny, financial bunny. And I didn't know who, I didn't even hear it because I wasn't expecting it. And a friend of mine I was walking with says to me, they're speaking to you. And I turned around and this girl was so excited because she was like, I actually bought a property in New York because of you. And I think that's what really keeps me going. The challenges, oh, a lot. So challenge number one, when I started doing financial education in South Africa, it was new. Like I'm probably one of the first couple of people that started doing it right outside of financial institutions. And I had a lot of backlash coming from CAs, people who are studying accounting or who are chartered accountants. And it was the question around how dare I? Who do I think I am to teach people about money without the qualifications? So you must know at that point, my qualifications at the time were I had a BA in human and social studies, and then I had an honors degree in communications. So nothing in finance, right? And I was like, well, money is for everybody. Everybody gets to use money. So, and to be quite fair, in the streams of chartered accountancy, financial accountancy, there's no actual module that's personal finance. Personal finance is not taught. We don't have it in South Africa as a standalone qualification that you can study. So we had I had a huge backlash in that space. I think my second challenge was getting too emotionally attached to the people that I was working with, right? You start taking up their problems. People come and they'll write you a long piece about, oh my goodness, this and this happened, or my husband doesn't want to contribute. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, I'm not a psychologist. And I guess that's when I started realizing that financial education is not just about the numbers. There's a lot of psychology in it. And that's probably how the study of behavioral economics comes up, because we would like to think people are logical, but a lot of people make financial decisions very emotional. So I think that was the second biggest challenge. Then the third one is it's a nice to have. It gets treated as a nice to have, right? Everybody says, yay, we are behind financial education. We want educated South Africans. We want them to be literate. Then you say, okay, fund it. Give us the money so we can go into the areas in South Africa where it really is needed. And then all of a sudden, they're like, oh, you know, we don't really need financial education that much. So I think we still need a lot of some sort of investment, whether it's from government, whether it's from educational institutions or financial institutions themselves, to really back up when they say they want financial literacy. Then the last challenge is probably how trusting South Africans are. They will send you an email with all of their details, ID number, full name, address. Please help me. I'm stuck with this account or I'm stuck with that. Or they'll say things like, can you trade for me? Or they'll say things like, I heard you help people make money. Can you? And I'm like, we don't do that here. So I think those are the big challenges. And it really sometimes opens people up to being exploited.
So obviously, education is a key element for you. With that being said, in your experience, do you believe that traders possess inherent qualities to trade and be successful, or are they cultivated through practice and education?
Let's look at it from a sports perspective. I think people are born with a certain skill set and a certain talent, right? We can't go take that away. And I think there are people who are born traders because they are analytical by nature. I do, however, think that even though, yes, we've got people who are born to trade or who are born traders, there's still that practice that you need to put in. You still need to harness that talent. So yes, definitely, I do think that there are some people who may have a special skill set. However, I do think that there's a nice little space for those who want to be taught, who can learn, and they can develop strategies to be able to, whether you are trading, whether you're investing. And luckily for you, there's people and companies that are able to assist you in building a trader.
Given your focus on financial literacy, how important is it for aspiring traders to understand the mechanics of trading platforms, especially in the South African context?
110%. They have to. Look, I laugh about this all the time. There was a specific case that happened in South Africa where one of our financial institutions, there was a mishap with the family and a body, a literal corpse was dropped in front of the doors of that company. Yes. It is important for trading companies, first and foremost, to have an address. We need to know where you are, who you are, right? Because I think our people still subscribe to a very old-fashioned way. I mean, digital is great and digital makes a lot of things a lot easier. But I think that the trust factor for us, especially within the South African market, is still knowing that there's an office, knowing that if I pick up my phone and call, there is somebody that I can find from that trading platform. There is knowing that if I register on the platform, my registration is either linked to Home Affairs or there's some verification process that really connects the account holder and the documents that are sent, right? So verification is very important. When I start trading or I start investing or I start using the platform, there must be an ability for me to deposit my own funds, see and be in control of my funds. They must never come out of control, right? I must never lose control of the funds I've deposited. And then if I make profits, please don't make withdrawal difficult. It's the most bizarre thing. And it's not even just, and I'm going to be very honest with you, it's not even just trading platforms. I've seen investment companies in South Africa or even insurance companies that when it's time to withdraw, now they want blood, they want a sample, they want a piece of your tongue. No, guys, you have to make it simple for somebody to withdraw, especially within the trading space, because it's quick. It's quick decision making, right? My strategy will determine how quickly I need to withdraw that money, how quickly I need to make my deposits. They must clear quickly, how easily I can take up positions. So I think for me, it's very, very key, especially within the South African market where, you know, investing, trading, all of those practices were often seen as being accessible only to the elite. So we are starting to get a middle class, middle income group of South Africans going into those platforms, but also using digital space platforms, which already you can understand someone is already a bit nervous about it. So as a trading platform, I think it is then important for you to hold their hand and really travel the journey with them to a point where they don't feel like they are lost. And then also give them a recourse. And that's why licensing is important, right? Because if something does happen, who do I go to? If I'm going to go to the FSCA and say, I'm reporting this and this company, then they ask me, where's their license? Are they registered? Can you look them up on the FSP search? And you can't, right? So now what recourse do you have? So I think all of those, it's a combination of things that really make a trading platform one that a person can really say, I feel safe and I feel comfortable trading my money here.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that's the thing. A lot of times when I'm speaking to prospective traders or new traders, and they're telling me the education that they're going through and what they're doing, which is, I think people think that there's an end game and the education's ongoing. But my concern is that a lot of the education isn't focused around regulations, about what to look for in a platform, prioritize what is important to you. It's about the actual trading itself, but there's so much more to it than that. And it really concerns me sometimes that the newer traders not really looking at these details. Yes, they're offering services in South Africa, but they're actually a mailbox in Mauritius.
Yes.
In British Virgin Islands, something
absolutely,
like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I really hope that we can spread the education on this so people can really protect themselves as investors.
I think so too. Look, and I always say, look, I'm going to challenge you guys as Exynos, right? Because I think it is a campaign that needs to be rolled out and in full force, where those things are brought up, because we do need to change the face of trading. And I think in my country, specifically South Africa, I do a lot of educational drives with some corporate companies where we go to universities, we go to graduate programs, interns. When I get to the point where I speak now asset allocation, how are you allocating your funds in savings, investments, and in trading? The first thing I always say is, do you guys know that each and every single bank, the banks you trust in this country, all have a Forex desk? Then you go, oh. And I'm like, yes, guys, because Forex trading is not a scam. Scamming is done by human beings. And that you need to understand that difference, because I think people don't understand that difference. And that is unfortunately now the reputational damage that trading companies need to now to overcome in South Africa. And I think we are spot on to say, let's focus on making sure you know that we are not part of the cabal that is doing funny things. We've got an office. Here is our address. We've got key accounts managers for each and every single one of you who register on our platform. You can withdraw. You can deposit. We make it easy for you. And I think it's a great campaign. So it makes people also comfortable that if this company cares so much about that, it must mean that they are opening themselves up and they're saying we're transparent. Yeah.
Now, when it comes to trading, timing is everything. At XNS, we've made it a priority to provide fast execution, enabling traders to act quickly and decisively. Nicolette, in your experience, how important is execution speed for traders, especially when markets are moving fast?
Look, and I think from your guys, it being a platform feature is absolutely key, right? Your strategy is going to determine how quickly you make those kind of moves, right? Your risk mitigation strategy will also do that. So there's definitely an important, I subscribe to Warren Buffett, and he always says that there's always going to be opportunity in crisis, right? So one of the things I always tell the people that I do personal finance coaching for, I always say to them, you need savings, you need goal attainment money, you also need opportunity exploitation money, right? So you know that each pocket serves a different goal. So your opportunity exploitation is for that. The Forex market is huge. It's the biggest market we've got. So there's always going to be opportunities. The question is, firstly, do you understand your own strategy that you've put together? Are you sticking to your risk mitigation strategy? Because also being impulsive and jumping at things is also going to get you into trouble. Thirdly, do you know when there are actual opportunities? Either on your own, in your own personal capacity, or you've got a platform where you can go to and actually read up, oh, there's going to be some movements in the US market because 1-2-3 is happening, or in the South African market because 1-2-3-4. I mean, at this point, we kind of have these, we kind of know that if Lesetša Kganyago and the Monetary Policy Committee is going to make a decision on our interest rate, there's going to be some sort of change. The rand is going to behave a certain way. So it's really, I think for me, it all comes down to you will be able to make those quick executions if one, you have a strategy, a proper trading strategy. Two, you follow your risk mitigating strategy. But three, you have the education.
I agree. But I mean, that's the funny thing. When I think about trading and when I see successful traders and unsuccessful traders, the common denominator, what I see with the people that are losing traders, it's not about them not having the right skill set or not having access to the information. All that's out there. But it's just they're not delivering on some very key fundamentals, which risk management and managing their emotions and actually having a plan and waking up and saying, today, I think that the USD rand is going to move. I'm going to buy it. That's not really a strategy or a plan. And I think this is what we see people have lack of success with their trading. Now, in the South Africa context, where market conditions can change rapidly and traders often deal with unique local challenges, how does fast execution empower traders to remain competitive?
Look, I mean, at the end of the day, you need to be able to go into a position that you believe is going to be a profit for you, right? I think I'll reiterate what I had said before. I'm a big fan of fast execution and the ability to do it. I don't think I'm a big fan of having to do it. So it's like I always say, there's a channel or a box streaming company in South Africa that gives you all the different sports. And I always say, it's better to have it and you want to watch it. You are able to watch it, right? Than not have it And the day it happens, you must still first figure out where is I need to reconnect my what to be able to. So I think it's the same with trading, right? It's I do need to be on a platform that allows that fast execution for me to stay competitive, especially when the opportunity arises, versus I'm just going to be doing fast executions for the sake of it. Yeah.
So as we wrap up, Nicolette, what are your thoughts on born versus made debate in trading? Are traders born or are they made? You have to pick one.
Do I have to pick one? I'm going to say born, but it needs to be nurtured.
Okay. Now, would you say that you were born or you made yourself into a trader?
I mean, I'm not a full-time trader, so it would be very unfair to answer that question. However, I think I have a skill set somehow to be able to make these types of decisions, right? But I do think a lot of it has come from really harnessing the talent. For me, I'm very big on making sure that you are harnessing that talent. But obviously, nature versus nurture.
Well, your metaphor with the athlete makes a lot of sense. They could be born with the skill sets, but end of the day, they need to develop them.
Absolutely.
Because I mean, let's say you look at the professional basketball player, let's say in America, there's a lot of people that could have played on that level from athletic perspective, but they just didn't have discipline and certain things that they needed to nurture, as you said, to get to that level. So I'm with you there. Okay. So Nicola, this has been great. I appreciate your time and it's been nice having you. And I appreciate your valuable insights for us and for our listeners. It's clear that both inherent traits and acquired skills play important roles in the trader journey. It's clear that fast execution paired with solid understanding of financial principles plays a key role enabling traders to act confidently and stay ahead of the markets. To our listeners, think about how you can incorporate tools like fast execution into your own strategies. Reflect on your own trading paths and continue learning and stay tuned for our next episode. And feel free to share your thoughts and questions on our social platforms. Until next time, trade wisely.